Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Wrap Up podcast for episode 4. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I've been better, Brian. I'm just kidding. I'm doing great, but this was an evil tactic to schedule a podcast right over the Mets game right now. You evil, evil Yankee fan.
Yeah, I have the game on mute. I'm watching it right now. So when people listen to this back, I'll be making some comments throughout the game. It'll be kind of fun.
Spoiler alert if you're recording the game.
Future spoiler alert, the Dodgers just tied the game. So it's 1-1
I thought
in the first.
I was making an effort not to curse. So if we're talking sporting events, that's like a different environment. I feel like cursing is more appropriate. So you're really kind of putting me in a trap. I did so much better last week, by the way.
With the cursing?
I think so.
To be, I don't really notice you cursing that much anyway, other than if you quote people.
Help me, help you, help me. And listen.
I think I probably curse more than you
that
do.
That is a fallacy.
I think I just say it like unknowingly, though, sometimes in my life, though.
Oh, maybe in your life. I'm not, you know.
Even on the show, sometimes I'll say like fuck or shit and not even notice that I say it.
I notice it because I've been making a concerted effort to curse less. But I think last week I was just acting like such a consummate professional that my business mode came out.
Yeah, you took over the hosting chair. How did you like the hosting chair, by the way?
Well, the thing is, with us, we're just having a conversation, right?
Right, yeah. There,
and I mean, it's like you don't want, I remember when the three of us, when Rob, you and I did a podcast, like Rob, and if you listen to this podcast, after knowing this, or maybe people just pick up on this anyway, Rob, for people who are like, what are you talking about? For the like, three people who listen to this that don't know Rob, hosts, is in charge. He's Rob of Rob Has a Podcast. So
yeah, he's the R&R app.
He purposely will direct questions to people when there's more than one person on a podcast so that it avoids people stepping over each other. So I was trying to do that to make sure Molly was included, to make sure there was enough Brian, to make sure we weren't talking over each other. But you know, the host can't prevent technical difficulties of people talking over each other. So I just want to clarify last week, really, really apologize for the poor audio experience. We're using a new program. And if I were a listener, that would be meaningless to me. So I won't go into it as much. But we totally apologize. That wasn't okay. It was hilarious, but it wasn't cool. But yeah, we normally you mute Skype. We do these over Skype, not to give Zach Longo any more tips for his podcast. But when you mute Skype, usually we're all good. We couldn't hear anything that was going on when we were muted. And for some reason, this new program records even when you're muted. So that was the issue last week. We had no idea until the show went up. Scott St. Pierre did his best to pull sound out and whatever technical term. So thank you, Scott, for your additional work last week. And we want to thank Molly and Plainview Sue for coming and slaying it. Molly agreed to join us at our time zone. So we really, really appreciate her help and everyone who was laughing about it instead of being harsh. So we apologize and we'll try to do better.
I like to think that we try to keep up to our technical standards the way Are You the One's budget is. Like, it's okay. Sometimes there's some fallacies, but it does the job. And that's the way I view our podcast.
I got so distracted because I thought you said tentacle standards. And I was like, is there like a Squidward thing coming? Like, what? Tentacle stand? And then by the time I got it, it was over. So
there's a very good chance I did say that because I can't speak, which is a weird quality to have for a semi-professional podcaster and not semi-professional at all.
Emphasis on semi. couple other notes from last week. So Kiki came from Ollie a little bit and tweeted, ain't no shame in my backless shirt game, which again, like every time Kiki announced that she's going to listen to the podcast, she then tweets like an ambiguous reference to the podcast.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess I'm creeping.
You're creeping. At least you don't screenshot things 30 seconds after people tweet them.
I do that. What do you mean?
Okay, never mind.
Oh, you mean you're also creepy? Gotcha. Yeah. I thought you meant someone screenshotted you. I was like, was it me?
No, I wish there was a way, kind of like with Snapchat, where you can find out if someone screenshots one of your tweets. That should
God
be a
forbid.
Thing.
I usually favorite tweets. So when people tweet us questions or things I want to bring up on the podcast, I'll favorite them. But for some outrageous things that the cast is saying that I don't want to give a favorite to, I'll screenshot it immediately. So just because I don't want them to know and give them any credit. So,
right.
I mean, that would be defeat the whole purpose. But anyway, so Chelsea writes, LMAO, and the last thing I'm going to do is shut my mouth, which I guess, did I tell her to shut? Someone said shut your mouth.
I think I might have did during the matchup ceremony to pipe down. with the phrase that I used.
Kiki Cooper, this is too funny. No thanks. Wave emojis, some other emojis. And then this is where it gets juicy. And this is why I did give them the favorites, because if they're talking about us, I'm going to favorite it. Chelsea, nor have I ever dated someone for 5 years. ... Lash tweets. Which I appreciate her bringing me that conversation. So I said, emphasis on allegedly. And then Kiki Cooper, we have been hearing these since the beginning. So we just sit over here like, oh no, not this again. So what they're referring to is I brought up some rumors that had been going around at the beginning of the show. And so I figured it's only fair to give equal time. Clearly Chelsea and Kiki deny these rumors. They laugh it off. It's all good.
To be fair, Chelsea didn't really deny that anything happened. She just denied that it went on for 5 years, which I think is also a stretch because she's like 22 years old. So 5 years is like a huge chunk of her life.
Yeah, I mean, everything gets distorted. I mean, when there's smoke, there's fire. There's probably something to it a little bit, but, you know, it's all garbage.
It is what it is. Corrections department, anything?
Final note.
All right.
And it comes to us via Andrew Kirk. Brian, can you see why Allie was so annoyed with Brittany last week and Allie did get worse with this week? And while we're going to get into this, did you go back and watch that moment that you said you had to go back?
The moment of Brittany calling out the fake couples?
No. Well, you talked about Brittany being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't say anything when Hannah's saying, like, oh, Kiki's over there with Chuck in the hot tub.
Oh, who was there? Crap, I did not do that.
It's okay.
Did you?
I got you, boo. I did it.
Thanks,
I called you boo.
Yeah. I think that's the most irritating thing to be called. Like, when someone's, like, trying to do it as an insult to be called boo,
that happened in the episode. But that wasn't an insult. That was, like, I got you.
No, that was, like, a friend. That's fine. When Brittany was calling Hannah boo, if I was Hannah, I would have wanted to turn around and punch her in the face.
P.S. She also wasn't pulling it off. Like, it wasn't like...
Yeah, it sounded very weird.
It wasn't working for her.
No.
But, so it was Chelsea, Brittany, and Stacy surrounding Hannah.
Okay.
And I was wrong. I did say that Brittany was the one who actually was heard saying something about it. But Chelsea was the one, even more ironically, was kind of provoking. No one was like shutting it down. And the two of them, I was probably the most ironic that the two of them were there for that. Especially what happens with this episode,
right?
But just wanted to clear that up. But, curious to just hear in general, how you're feeling about Brittany before we get into it.
I was still with Brittany for probably the first half of this entire episode. It really wasn't until the deliberation when she really flipped out on Hannah that I started to veer away from her. I still thought everything she was doing was genuine in terms of calling everyone out, saying you can't really be in love after 2 weeks. This is ridiculous. Grow up. I still am with her that she was just being genuine. And then I think her exploding at deliberation was forced and not a good look for her.
I feel like I'm about to write a thesis statement because then we're going to go into the podcast. But like, so the statement I'm about to support throughout our discussion here in the podcast is that Brittany only does things self-interestedly. And I think it's fine. I think she should be. I think you'd almost be a fool not to, especially on a program like this where you don't know these people, you don't care about them, and you're going to leave and you're all you have, whatever. But I think she's really only doing things when they suit her. I don't believe that she was genuine, or maybe she did genuinely believe what she was saying last week, but I don't think she'd hesitate to continue to hook up with Chuck. And we'll get into it.
Right. Well, I mean, that's really where the episode starts off right away. So we can just hit it right there.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. The last thing from last week. And that was such a good segue and I'm blowing it. You know, I love a good segue.
We'll just cut what you're about to say out and then put it right before this conversation. And then we'll go from there.
I don't think we're allowed to have any more editing after what Scott had to go through last week. Okay. So for the 100th time, it reminded me because in the scenes from last week's episode, we see again MTV exploiting this Amanda and Ryan blow up. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find these freaking tweets. Amanda tweeted at us that she got reamed because we were like, oh, MTV probably loved this. They, you know, whatever. They provoked it. They know what they're doing. Apparently, we gave Ryan too much credit because apparently after the camera stopped recording, Amanda got reamed out by production.
Didn't she say that they stopped recording? Like, they reamed her out? I thought she said they stopped.
Yeah, that's
recording.
What I mean. Sorry. Okay. Like, when they shut off the cameras.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying that it wasn't, like, after the fact. Like, it was during the moment that, like, shut down production and, like, scalded her and then they picked things up, right?
Keep going. Say more things. No, I'm kidding. I'm just scrolling through because it's totally
I'll say this. I tweeted, this was a moment, like an eye-opening moment when Amanda was tweeting with my mom that I'm like, what happened to this world? Like, how did we get here? And my mom was tweeting with MTV reality.
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing. If I didn't favorite it, I'll go back and do it now.
Do I need to keep talking?
No, the other thing I want to say is I did get my the Rue shirt. It came like the next day, which was a totally appropriate amount of time for it to ship. I just got anxious.
I need to shout out to Cheyenne. We'll get into it after the episode, but I mean, she's so far and away the best person on the show. It's ridiculous. So early shout out to Cheyenne.
Yeah, I mean, we always shout out to her. I love her, and I thought the shirt was great. It looks totally cute. Can't wait to wear it. I have worn it, but like, can't wait to wear it again.
Right.
And I paid for this. Again, I just want to say this is not product placement.
It would be weird product placement to give someone a shirt who does an audio podcast. It's not like you can.
Yeah, well, hopefully some people will buy it because I'm talking about it. It's great. Right. Really cute. Okay, so Amanda tweeted, Ryan said be careful because he knew production would have his back, and they did, got in so much trouble for that. And I wrote back, I'm shocked. I figured they would love a reaction like that. And she wrote back, F no. I got my A effing ripped in front of every. I'll just say, I got my ass fucking ripped in front of everyone for that. They shut down filming to yell at me, which is what you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I said, and then they used it in every commercial for the season. They should thank you that she retweeted it. I mean, it is true. It's ridiculous that they screamed and yelled at her over that when normally they would like kiss someone's feet.
It's classic MTV. They try to act all high and mighty with everyone else, but then they're promoting it. So, I mean, it's classic MTV.
Okay. So to re-segue back in, they appear to be really excited about the three matches.
Yeah. I mean, they're according to Ryan, they're right on track. They're on their way, but the talk, it seems like when they get back to the house is again over the quote unquote fake couples. Rashida, Brittany, and Melanie were all talking that they all need to split up because it's not fair that they're on the outside and with no one to have fun with.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I do get it. I think Brittany and Rashida are doing the best of the girls to an extent in the beginning of how to do what I've been complaining about, which is instead of just bitch and moan that, oh, you know, you need to break up. There are too many fake couples like we kind of see Melanie doing. Mm-hmm. They're actually like Rashida's trying to dance with Devin. Brittany's making moves with Chuck. They're not just hung up like Brittany was last week with Mike about how he needs to get over it. They're actually demonstrating why they may have a connection and trying to make connections and achieve the matchmaking, like win the game that way, which I think is way stronger than complaining about it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is each one, whether if you're in a fake couple or you're the one outside of a fake couple, everyone's going to have this mindset where if you're in a fake couple, it's always, oh, you don't know how tough it is, so I'm just going to keep doing my thing. And for everyone who's not in the fake couple, it's, oh, this is ridiculous. Everyone's supposed to be playing a game. I kind of almost lost my train of thought. They were just a great catch in the Dodger game. But yeah, so it's everyone on the outside of whatever group they're in is going to view the other person as the crazy person.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree with you. And that's all I have to say. I agree with you. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone.
And we'll see you next week. I was just going to go to Alec, who I've almost becoming my favorite guy on the show, which I can't believe I'm saying this, but
favorite is way more than I'm willing to say, but he had a good episode.
Yeah, he had a very good episode all around. He goes up to Mike, which is what apparently all the girls in the house want, is someone to just go up to them and say, I know you guys aren't a perfect match, but I want to pursue things with this person. And that's what he did to Mike about Amanda.
Which is ironically what Amanda doesn't like about Alec, is that he's this kind of guy. Like, he comes up with his like disgusting cigarette as like an architect pencil behind his ear. Sorry, I just had to call that out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's kind of like, but he's like being sad about it. Like, he's not saying like man to man, like I made a move on Amanda or whatever. Like, he is asking permission here. And I don't think that's a great look for a guy. I get why he's doing it. I don't think it's a great, great look right now. And he does say like, oh, if I do open up to her, I don't want to get hurt. It's like, what is Mike going to do? Like, sing you a lullaby and woo you to sleep? Like, I don't understand what he wants here.
It was just
a tip. Like, he wants advice.
All of Mike's reactions though were weird because like, I just can't get over the fact he doesn't change like his voice. It's just everything's the same with him. Like when he's talking with Alex, he's like, oh, yeah, no, that's cool. No problem. And then the conventional is saying it the exact same way of, oh, I'm not even threatened by him. So he can go do his thing. I don't even care. Like, it just seems like he doesn't have any sarcastic tone. He doesn't have any angry tone. He doesn't have a humor tone. It's hard for me to get him straight.
It's like drunk and wasted. It's all like he's time. Just regularly talking, that's drunk, and then when he's like weeping in the truth booth, that's wasted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's confession.
I guess so, but that's the issue I have with him. I can't settle him.
I don't know. I thought in this moment I liked Mike's reaction. I mean, it would be totally unnecessary to fly off the handle. Like we said before, like Alec hasn't done anything with Amanda. He's just like saying, I've had thoughts about it. It's like, you know, he's like, you know, confessing, like I've had lusty thoughts and like, forgive me, I've sinned. And it's like, Mike is fun, hysterical. Like it's Alec. Like this is exactly why I'm not threatened by him. Like, go ahead, bro. Like, what do you want from me? And it's true. Like Amanda's not into Alec just because of this. So yeah. I kind of understand why Mike didn't like blow up or laugh or whatever.
And it all goes back to the whole thing on the, it's almost, you can't really judge anyone on a reality show for whatever they do on the first day. Cause the first day of a reality show like this is such a whirlwind for these people that they have so much energy and so much like alcohol flowing through them in that moment that you almost have to take whatever happens in episode one and like bottle it and put it aside and then actually judge everyone else from two on.
See,
for Alec, I mean, he was such a different person that first 20 minutes than he's been like the rest of the season.
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I totally get what you're saying, but I've always been a firm believer, and I'm going to segue this into something else I've actually been thinking about all day. So it's not even like that's pathetic. Like this has been on my mind all day, but I am a firm believer in we have to go off of what's shown. Episode one, Alec sucks. Episode two, Alec great. Great. If episode seven, Alec sucks again, then Alec sucks. Like, I feel like, well, one thing because I think I even liked Late in the beginning and then you don't like him. Like the editing has total control over what we see. If they wanted us to like Alec episode one, we would like Alec episode one. Like, I don't necessarily think it's like, oh, they're all scrambled. I think it's also situational. If Stacey wasn't doing this with Alec, who knows what Alec would be doing right now?
That's fair.
You know, so it's, I don't mind changing my opinion week to week because it's almost like they're, this is what I've been thinking about today, so I'll just go into it. Like, real talk, everyone has been tweeting about how most of the girls, like, you don't even know me, it's 10 minutes. Anyone who thinks after 10 minutes of a reality show, like, you know me, it's 10 episodes, that's not who I am, the cast knows the truth. It's like Stacey, Chelsea, Kiki, like, Hannah, like, everyone is coming to their own defense about this. And I almost want to come to the viewer's defense as, you got, like, good on you. You got recognized out of however many people who auditioned for the show or MTV was looking at for being worth watching, that people would want to come home at 10 p.m. and watch you for an hour. And nobody's claiming, this is not, I kind of am trying to separate us from the people who just tweet, like, you're a disgusting bitch, which happens, and I don't think that that's okay. But not every comment about you on the show, like, give the viewers some credit, right? Like, we watch scripted television. We watch The Hills where they told us it was scripted. We know that this isn't you. And I feel like we have to say this every week, but it's getting more and more apparent on Twitter that they're, like, freaking out when somebody says something negative about them. We're only given what's shown. It's a TV show. You should like that people are talking about you. You wanted this. You wanted to be famous. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with the blind hate. But if someone's a little bit critical about something you do, I mean, you can't just attack us for being viewers that watch your show.
I could not agree more, 100%. And also, when someone attacks you for something you did, for the most part, like, yes, it's edited, but you did do it in some degree. Like, yes, I know some instances can be completely edited, and it's like, wow, that's totally not the story at all. But in some degrees, it is, because that is what you said, that is what you did. So when you go on a show, you open yourself up to be criticized, especially in the age where you're on Twitter and you interact with crazy people sometimes on Twitter that can shoot you a message at any time. So usually the people who are shooting things directly at people on reality shows are most of the time, I feel like, saying either mean things or like declaring their love for them with no in between. You don't hear someone say like, oh, at Stacey is like a pretty normal, cool girl. It's either she's a psychopath or will you marry me? So that's what you get on Twitter.
That's one of the reasons when I'm live tweeting about any show, I don't usually tag the person in it unless they're directly talking to me, because it's not personal. Like, I understand, like, you are more than that 2-second clip of you having a bad day with too much to drink and too little sleep and the stress of being on TV and the pressure the producers are giving you, whatever. Like, that's, I try really not to just do blind hate unless I know the person kind of take it. Like, Alec seems to be able to, like, kind of just take it.
Right.
But It's like, we know, and I want to just absolve them of that. I understand how upsetting it probably is to get people like tweeting death threats at you because you're on an MTV show and they're like 13 and unhappy. But it's just, I don't know. It's just like really kind of making this hard because I'm reevaluating us as like we're doing a podcast about it. And I don't want people to get upset about it to the point where they have to tweet. And I don't think they're directing at us, but the point where they have to tweet disclaimers about themselves. Like, I love myself. It doesn't matter what you think. I don't want, basically, we're not being malicious. I hope we're a higher standard than that.
Even mean things I say about someone is always in jest. It's like, there's no one, even like the Leighton stuff was last year was sort of like in jest. Like, would I want to be friends with Leighton? Probably
deserved.
Not. But yeah, for that. But it's always somewhat in jest. That's the thing. And that's what hopefully they can remember.
I was having a podcasting host crisis today, but I do think we're just viewing these people as characters. I'm sure you're all right.
I mean, to a degree, again, that's what they are when they're on television. They're not people, they're characters. So
when my mom says she is annoyed by the older brother on the Goldbergs, he doesn't tweet at her like the actor, like, what the hell? I'm better than this. Like, I'm more than I am on the show.
Right, right.
All right. Sorry for that. What even led me to that? It just put on my mind all day, you know, guys. I had to get it out.
So segue to Connor and Kayla.
Yeah, that was cute. I'm sorry. I thought it was really cute.
I can't even be mad at Kayla because this is all I built up in my head, but she has legitimately been like the most disappointing reality person in my entire life.
Oh, we had a question about that and I predicted where you were going to say that and it was wrong. But keep going. Why has she been disappointing? Not that I disagree.
She's like too, I didn't think she would be so attached to one guy and that would be her storyline. I thought her storyline would be more the Amanda storyline, and I thought she would be even further than what Amanda's been. So it's, again, it's not like I can't blame Kayla, like that's just who I just from a 20-second bio on social media, who knew I can read someone completely wrong from that. But she's more like kind of mellow. Like I guess she kind of blew up a little bit at Chelsea, but it wasn't like some overly dramatic shtick.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I think Bruno tweeted at you about Kayla before you watched the episode. And I was like, you might be disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know what I appreciate the tweet, Bruno, but I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
I get it. I think because we got some attitude from her when she goes against Chelsea, but I agree. I mean, it was Rodriguez Alexa who says, do you guys think Kayla's the biggest disappointment? She's so boring. I mean, I think she's kind of being like a normal girl who's getting offended. Yeah. So she'll go off a little bit, but she's not giving us like full blown crazy.
Right. I mean, it's disappointment just because I declared like the Mount Rushmore of greatest reality people to ever grace my television before episode one. So, I mean, that's on me.
I mean, I don't think you said that, so I'm going to give you a little more credit.
That is basically what I said.
If you did in our reunion podcast,
say that phrase, but I mean, I wanted her to have a spinoff before she ever set foot on my television.
So then we get Chelsea, who's, you know, is being, I guess, more intense than Kayla here, where she's saying, like, if she has to see Kayla and Connor together one more time, she's going to wring that girl's neck. You're not a perfect match. It's disrespectful. You don't have to sleep with him every night. And I understand why Chelsea's upset, because I think she actually is one of the like left out girls who actually does have a connection and feelings for someone.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the other girls are just kind of coming out of like, nobody's paying attention to me. And Chelsea's coming from a place of, I actually see something with this guy and she's in my way. But Kayla owes you nothing. Like, Connor is the one who you should be upset because he's sleeping with a girl every night.
Yeah. I mean, if Kayla was doing to Connor what Stacey was doing to Alec, yes, you could be upset at Kayla. Connor is very much at, if not, I get more at fault. I mean, Kayla is just doing what she wants. She has no connection with Stacey. It's not like they're best friends in the house. It doesn't seem, obviously not. It doesn't seem like they are at all. So what's it to her that she's doing that with Connor? It's yell at Connor for hooking up with Kayla. It's not Kayla's fault. It wasn't like Connor was saying, no, Kayla, get away from me. They were in bed together, both consenting people.
Yeah, and Connor, I mean, we'll get into it later at the matchup ceremony, but Connor leaves a lot to be desired in this episode. I mean, it's like, this whole episode is like, where are these guys standing up for these girls? And I know Chelsea can't be crazy. I know Connor isn't totally ignoring her or isn't saying or validating her feelings that they could be a match. I'm sure he's like, yeah, we could be a match. And then he's taking that as like, I'm playing the game. I can cuddle with Kayla. He's just acting like a dope. It's just like, you're not dumb. Pick it up, man. Like, stop allowing and or encouraging these girls to fight over you. Like, later, Kayla's getting upset because she really likes him. And he's like, oh, she's so immature. Like, no, you're pitting these two women against each other. Of course she's going to get upset.
Yeah, and I don't like, he said something to the effect of, oh, her lashing out was, like, not a good look. And it's not something that I can respect or something to the degree of that. And it's like, she doesn't need to, like, get your approval of her behavior. Like, they were saying, like, it seems like all the guys are saying the girls need to meet their standards. And that's, like, not a good look for them.
The feud continues because yesterday during the show, Kayla tweeted, I would love to see Bombshell Chels try to put her hands on me. And then the laugh cry face, hashtag sick joke. And I guess, I don't know if Chelsea wasn't watching it, but she wrote, I was raised better than that. I don't fight people, grow up, girl. And Kayla wrote, that's not what you said on tonight's episode, laugh cry emoji. And I mean, she did say, like, she's going to choke her out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then,
wasn't there a preseason tweet about someone said to cut Chelsea out of a picture and it would look good? Paris said that. Okay. And because, yeah, so that's there's the feud right there.
Yeah, it continues. There's definitely factions within the cast.
The even now. Worlds. Yep.
So, yeah, this is when Kayla, I think we wanted her to blow up a little bit more, but she's just straight up like, I mean, I feel bad for you, but I'm not going to change anything.
Yeah.
And then Kayla gets a great Samuel L. Jackson moment where she's so sick of every effing person in this mother effing house. I cried when she said that.
Because I just love the way they just shot where they just like zoomed out of the house and it was just her voice echoing throughout. That was good. Well done.
So went from laughing to vomiting with Brittany and Chuck fighting in the pool. Thoughts, feelings, concerns.
It's so bizarre. Like, I agree. I think it was Kiki who said, like, I did not expect that from Brittany. I did not expect that from Brittany at all. And it was just weird that it was they were doing it with an audience. It was like they're eating their lunch and they were just like, almost like having sex in the pool in front of everyone.
Whoa.
Very bizarre situation.
I don't know what you do in your personal time, Brian, but that was not even close.
It was like, if they weren't there, it would have led to more.
I thought it was way more playful. They weren't even kissing.
I think they stopped themselves because they realized they have an audience eating their lunch.
I think that's a stretch. Look, I don't like them either, but I think it was way more playful than sexual. I mean, she took her top off. It was definitely flirtatious. I don't think they were close to doing it in the pool, but, you know, it was broad daylight, you know, whatever. It's already the one. But one thing is, yeah, I feel like we've been getting a lot more hilarious audience shots where, like, oh, when Stacey's like trying to make out with Alec, like they're people on the same couch, like just watching them. Right. Like, it's just like they don't care. Or the producers are doing a better job of showing us how funny it is.
Yeah, I enjoy the people's reactions sometimes more than the actions themselves. So that's been a lot of fun.
What I don't like about this moment wasn't that it was too sexual for me, but was that Brittany creeps me out. Like, none of this is surprising to me. I thought Brittany was, yeah, I got bad vibes from her last week, and this is just the same. When she's like, I got an eye on Chuck, I feel like it's just all calculated. I think her ripping her top off, the playfulness, like, I just feel like she's so calculating, and just everything she says creeps me out. Like,
her laugh was definitely like a little over the top.
Perfect timing, just small. Brittany's cackle was a little scary. Agree, disagree? Totally agree.
And it's like she has a long laugh. Like, she laughs for a while in like one stretch, and that's weird. Like, it let out a few ha's and like be done with it. Like, she was laughing for like 10 seconds straight. And if you try doing that, by the end of it, I feel like you just need a drink of water. You have to be like out of breath.
Laughing 101, Brian Cohen, Professor Cohen.
Yeah. See, that was a nice little chuckle. That's a normal laugh.
What do you make of Chuck here? Because Chuck starts, first of all, we see last episode, Chuck's so devastated. He's lost Hannah. He loved Hannah. And now Brittany knows my heart lies with Hannah. But because she's being playful and she's a free spirit and it's sexy, I'm over it.
Chuck is, I think he's just a definition of just like a free spirit that doesn't take anything too seriously. Doesn't take anything too seriously. Takes love super seriously. Doesn't take anything else seriously. And just so will fall in quickly and then we'll fall out hard and then we'll fall in quickly and then we'll fall out hard. And that's what we're going to see probably throughout the entire season. We're going to go through this thing with him like two more times before the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what I think he doesn't take love seriously. He thinks he does. It's back to like these guys being emotionally forward. He put all his eggs in one basket. But I mean, that just shows how much, if Hannah and Chuck were a perfect match, clearly it wouldn't have worked out, because Chuck fakes, you know, goes all in. At least Alex owning it, I tell girls what they want to hear. I go all in and then I'm out. Like, Chuck convinces himself he's in love with these girls. He convinces the girl they have something real, and clearly they don't. And he's giving himself credit to the camera. Like, I put my heart in this twice. You know, I got screwed. And it's like, no, you didn't. I don't even think he put his heart in it to either of them. I think he thinks he does, but clearly, I mean, how do you bounce over? Because what, she's a mermaid and her hair goes over her quote breasts, that I'm supposed to be impressed that like that would really change a strong connection that you had last week?
Like, there's no, like, I think he was into both the girls and not in some way, but like what Brittany said last week, there's no way you can be that involved with someone this quickly. So like, he may think he was, but he couldn't be. You can't be that attached to someone after like a week.
Exactly. And that's why what he said to Hannah last week was wrong. I think a lot of it too was about the chase. I think Hannah was resistant to him a bit and she was hard to get. And so he went all in hard. And now that he got her and can have her according to the show, it's permission to move on. I don't think he's doing this on a conscious level. I don't think he's like a mean guy, but
no, absolutely not.
It's not a good look.
Yeah, no, he's probably like a super nice guy that wouldn't harm a fly, but he's just like caught up in the moment.
Which is even the worst. It's like, oh, I'm just being a nice guy. But what he's doing is actually hurting her.
Yeah.
I'm upset. Okay, so then we immediately go to the challenge. But Kristen Kinnear brings up a point that I was thinking about as soon as we went to the challenge. A couple of minutes, well, she asked a question that we're going to cover later. But the end result of it was a couple minutes of pre-matchup discussion would be nice to see how the hell they're making these decisions. I feel like there is totally enough time to even see, to see more strategy overall, but to see a little bit of them talking about the challenge. They must go in and say who's going to match up with who. No, like, is that, unless that's not allowed? I don't understand.
They didn't know it was a partner challenge. So it wasn't like, if this is a normal thing that they have that. But I mean, unless she was like lying, Kayla said flat out before the matchup ceremony, I have no idea who's going to pick me. Now, I don't understand how they can be at that point. Like, they should all know who everyone's picking going in.
Well, that's the other thing with the challenge is, and I think I said this last week, but it's like, from the amount of downtime I hear constantly that you have on reality television, there's no chance that you're not shooting the shit in the house talking about who you should match up with in the event that you have the choice. Because the tire challenge, they had a choice that they wanted to arrange that. Unless MTV, like Big Brother style, comes on and says like, Kayla, stop talking about your match. Like, there's just, it makes zero sense that you would arrive at this challenge, Ryan would say match up, and it would be a random race to pair up. That makes no sense.
No sense. No sense.
I agree. But that's what happens.
Yeah. And that's why they're sucking.
And we even get Connor saying, like, it is essential that everyone in the house makes the right choice here. And nobody makes the right choice.
Of course. Well, I mean, a couple people did, but...
But this was a challenge, and we'll get into it. You could have determined who you wanted to win. And I actually thought that was happening. Why don't you set up the challenge and we'll get into it?
So the challenge was there were the guy and the girl were each on opposite sides of a see-through maze, and they had to manipulate a hot dog through it with
raw
their mouths.
Raw hot dog.
A raw hot dog.
Why it gotta be raw?
Gross. Are you sure it was raw? That raw?
Again, I don't know what you do in your personal time, Brian, but if you cook hot dogs and they look like that, I don't know.
So raw hot dog.
Can we get Amanda to let us know, because she's always good about answering our questions. Could you let us know?
Is it dangerous to eat a raw hot dog?
I don't think they were eating it, except for Tasty.
You might accidentally take a bite of it.
Hot dogs aren't hot dogs like technically all cooked, but it just would be disgusting.
I mean, you don't have to cook them for that long, so there's no way.
Yeah. I actually think it's just for heating. That's not even real meat.
Okay. You have to manipulate a hot dog through a maze. Without obviously talking, because you have a hot dog in your mouth. Two fastest times go to a date.
If you drop it, you rip it, you laugh, you're done. So I was actually pleased because we get
I love the strong voiceover to emphatically say when you're in the house, you're not going to be able to see the maze. I don't know why they had to add that, but
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they were all walking away. Ryan was clearly not talking. I think they may have showed his mouth not even moving at the time, and it was just his voice over that. While you're in the house, you won't be able to see the maze.
Well, before we get into it, I guess Alex Panda Moran wants to know, based on this season, where did this challenge rank for you?
This was I liked this challenge. I thought I was fine with it. I don't know how I would rank it because they're all like not that great, but this was decent.
I think this is an undeniably great challenge for Are You the One.
I mean, this is what the challenges should be. Yeah.
You pair up ahead of time. There can be strategy. There is room for them to DQ out on purpose, which I thought was happening, but clearly wasn't. Like, it's flirty. It's funny. It's quick. Like, I thought this was great.
Yeah. I was fine with it. I didn't have a problem with it.
So, this was a moment where I'm still trying to figure out why Chelsea has such strong feelings for Connor or why Chelsea thinks that if Kayla wasn't in the picture that Connor would maybe be more into her, because he says like, oh, I picked Chelsea because I want to be a team player. Like, what are we not seeing again that there's a real romantic connection on his side?
I caught that also. I mean, it's all, maybe he, I mean, he kind of feels it at the end of it. He calls her like, come on, sweetheart. And then like they're hugging and like seem like they're pretty close. But yeah, it seemed like it was for him just a pure, we were paired up at a couple matchup ceremonies when we got beamed. So I have to do this. Yeah, I can't. Connor's another one who's tough to read. I can't get a sense of what he's into.
But like for a Midwestern guy, I don't think it's that like, you know, that it's like darling of the South. Like, I kind of think he could just be that guy that calls everyone sweetheart and hugs everyone and is like just agreeable, doesn't want to hurt anyone. Like, that's the worst type of guy, is the guy who hurts people because he doesn't want to hurt them. But like, that's, well, it's not the worst of murderers, you know. But and then like, I mean, I feel like he's leading her on, but the show is like editing him to look like it's all good on his end. Like, he's being strategic, he's being clear, but I just have to feel like Chelsea's too smart a girl to like not see what's going on if he's not giving her any validation.
There has to be something. It can't just all be, at least on his end, strategic. There has to be some connection between them.
Oh, did you catch this? When they were having the fight with Kayla, Chelsea's crying to Stacey and says, he either says he or she keeps apologizing and then it keeps happening. And I rewound a couple times and I couldn't hear if Chelsea was saying she, like Kayla keeps apologizing, or he keeps apologizing.
I think I remember that. I think she said she, that Kayla keeps apologizing and then it keeps happening.
Well, Kayla doesn't apologize, I just couldn't make out what she was saying. But if you heard it as she, then never mind.
That's what I heard it as.
All right. So, sorry, back to the challenge. Quick digression. Is that a word?
Digression?
I digress.
Digress.
Yeah. But I said digression, but I spelt it right. I pronounced it wrong.
What do you mean you spelled it? You had to write down digression?
No, but like the way that I said it would have been spelled the same as the right way.
Yeah, back to the challenge. So what did you, again with Brittany, that I'm starting to like side with you in that her being a little more strategic in what she's doing, because she says something to the effect of, you can cut our sexual tension with scissors. With virtual, I've never heard scissors be used to cut tension before, but yeah, it seems like she is trying to set herself up for a storyline.
Sorry, you lost me and I'm starting to agree with you. That was like chicken soup for the podcast.
I'm starting to agree with you in the fact that I think Brittany is very strategic in what she's doing.
Yeah, she's, I don't like her. But yeah, no, I agree. That was a weird line too. But so Brittany and Chuck beast it, which I was happy about because at least that makes a little bit of sense. And then Kiki and Mike DQ, Melanie and Nelson DQ, all these other couples are falling out. And then Chelsea and Connor with an unbelievable completing the maze at that height differential is unbelievable. And then I felt like even those finishes were okay. I just don't understand why they didn't pair up the four people from the first matchup ceremony.
I don't know.
And ensure that two of them won.
It was a weird move also, only giving them two winners to pick
from. That was crazy to me too. I didn't even know that because I started watching it live and then we had to go to record it and it glitched. So I rewatched it again today. But when I watched it originally, I didn't know until they voted that there were only two people.
Legitimately, and I was like, I thought when they said that only two people were going to win, because I thought what was going to happen was only two people were going to finish the maze and that they wouldn't allow someone else to go. So they just had to re-edit it post to say two instead of three. But no, there were more people that finished it.
I thought something amazing had happened and like Connor refused to go on the date with Chelsea. Like what happened? Nothing happened.
Yeah, that was just a weird thing. Especially with them struggling. Like, I thought they would want to give them a boost and totally give them two options. It was a weird move.
So then this is funny. So we get Zach and Cheyenne's first kind of run here, and Zach is explaining why he likes Cheyenne so much. She's the female version of me. And I agree with everything he said great about Cheyenne, but I just don't know any of that about Zach. So like the first thing we learn about Zach is that he thinks he's like Cheyenne, which if that's true,
that's great.
He's on a great path. Yeah.
That's the goal in life.
And then this is what's crazy. This was such bullshit. Tyler and Stacy are like making a run to knock out Chuck and Brittany. Why the hell are they even trying? If that is the true order of what happened, it's like pathetic. I don't remember feeling this frustrated, like screaming at my TV, like drop your hot dog. Like you don't want to get picked, yeah. Tyler and Stacy.
Like I don't understand how Connor and Chelsea were not in the truth booth this week. Even if they're not a match, like finding out they're not a match is great. That means you're down to three. That means there's like three couples up in the first ceremony and two of them are a match. So.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, shoot. I can't turn the page. Someone asked a question about us. Ugh, you keep jumping to like a great point and I put it in the wrong place. Rodriguez and Alexa, do these people have any, Rodriguez, Alexa, do these people have any logic? They should figure out 2 out of 4 perfect matches from week one. Even if they send 2 of the wrong couples into the truth booth from that week, they would still get 2 confirmed perfect matches and would avoid another blackout.
No, they don't. And what's annoying is like, I understand people want to try to win to go on a date, but so they should just pick out, okay, who is our top couple that needs to go in the truth booth? Chelsea and Connor. Okay. They are winning this date. Everyone else can play for the other dates, but they, no matter what, they are winning. We have to make sure they win and then go from there. How is that not what they do?
This is, I'm jumping around, but Ryan then so unconvincingly, they're trying to do like a teaser into the commercial. Really making good time on this. Will it be enough? And they're halfway through the maze.
Deep.
Like they're halfway through the maze when he says that.
And the hot dog was literally falling out of Stacy's mouth at the time.
So the dates are Cheyenne and Zach and Chuck and Brittany. And then
Cheyenne is amazing.
Well, before that, we get poor Stacy and poor Alec here.
Oh, Stacy's saying, wait, what poor Stacy and Alec here?
So what happens next is we get Stacy like with her lips on a couch like inches away from Alec's face.
I meant more just Cheyenne being what the fuck's a manatee.
I skipped that. I didn't write that down.
That was just my left. Cheyenne being amazing.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought you were skipping the
date. That was it. I was just saying Cheyenne being amazing. Just her dry pan delivery of everything.
Did you say manatee?
Isn't it manatee? Didn't they go see manatee?
Manta ray.
God. I wrote manta ray and I said manatee.
All right, the professor's out now. he went home for the day. So Alec is like, I didn't come in here to try to fake feelings. I don't want to fake feelings with you. Like, I have to give Alec a lot of credit here. Like, he is trying. He's being nice to her. We don't really see him bashing her like we saw guys do in the past to girls who are doing this kind of thing. He's just really trying to help her get it. He is spending time with her. He's not yelling at her. He's not bitching about her any more than just like, is anyone else seeing this?
He's not even saying it behind her back. Like, he's saying it directly to her. So there's nothing much more he can do.
The worst thing he did was like avoid trying to get the house to make them match up for a ceremony, which I almost think was just to give him a shot and to not lead her on. Like, he doesn't want to pick her and lead her on.
Yeah. I mean, Stacey's saying like, it's better when we don't talk. That's not perfect match material. I don't think that's the way love works.
I mean, that's a tactic. If guys like, I really don't like you. Shh.
Yeah, that's usually the opposite way, though.
Then she says, are you gay? Like, you're not my match. Like, clearly, if you're not trying to kiss me. And then he says he acts like Oprah because he's so emotional.
Yeah, who is Oprah? Like, I wouldn't have Oprah be my go-to person for acting emotional.
Well, it's funny when the quiz, like they do that play along came up. It's like, who is she about to compare Alec to? Oprah had like 0%.
Yeah, that's not my go-to. Like, maybe like she's like super excited, I would go Oprah for her favorite things, not emotional.
Then the piece de resistance, or what some fancy words for the worst part of it. She follows him into, she goes into the bathroom when he's in the bathroom and he's like, can I not even get any peace in the bathroom?
So I'm saying, I have to like reevaluate Alec as just a person. He's kind of funny. I like Alec.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying anything wrong. This was a great episode for him. I think he could be doing way worse things to Stacy and it would almost be valid. Like, I know Stacey's been a big tweeter of like, you know, she's been owning it. She's been making jokes at herself on Twitter, but she's also been saying like, I'm happy with myself, so it's okay. I'm sure she's getting a lot of hate. It's not worth hate. I feel bad for the girl. I mean, she's probably embarrassed, but Alec could be doing way worse. We've seen guys on MTV, Are You the One, doing way worse, playing girls out. He's like really treating her with a lot of respect for the situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the only option after such brutal rejection is she's like, well, all right, when you want to come talk to me, you could talk to me. Like, I'm not trying anymore. And like, yeah, we believe that.
I guarantee a half hour later, she turned around and tried to talk to him again. That's what happens. Because you're stuck in a house. You have nowhere else to go. You can't go home. Like, they're in a house together.
Yeah, I guess, in an attempt to make the house less prisony, MTV rewarded them with a dance party tonight.
That, I was actually stunned. Because isn't that the whole thing in MTV that they don't get to listen to music? So like, well, that's like a big thing.
They've done it a couple of times. Like last season, they like took them somewhere to have like a big party.
Right. That I know. But in the houses, I know at least for Real World, they're never allowed to have music playing. It's just because it's hard for them to record them talking all the time with music playing in the background.
Yeah. Well, no, that was a sanctioned event. Like Hunter says, like, we get to have a dance party tonight. So, I mean, yeah, they have to do something. And then that's why it's always dubbed over with other music and they're never dancing on beat to the music that's on. But Hunter, math genius, you must have gotten your PhDs together. One new connection can spark four new connections. Boom. Next thing you know, we've got 8 and then we got 10 and we're in the money. Like, this is again, his like, I picked the emoji with the tongue out and the wink because it's got a tongue out and a wink. Like, if this is the strategic mind behind the whole operation, they are screwed.
Yeah. Also, Hunter's just like way too optimistic for me. Like, so, like, I don't want bad things to happen to him, but he needs to have something happen that will like cause him to not be so optimistic. It's because like his line at the end of the episode was like, oh, I believe we're all in this together. We're a family and we're going to do it. No, I want him to be pessimistic.
Well, apparently he's been given several gifts in life. So. He doesn't have to worry about much. So this is what I don't understand. For any fans of the league, Devin and Rashida are dancing. Devin lets out a Rashida blast. And they're like getting freaky on the dance floor, screaming out her name. That's what I mean by Rashida blast. And Kiki, to her credit, is really not causing drama. Like, we don't know what Devin is telling Rashida or telling Kiki, but they're all having a good time. And I think some other people, well, we do see later that like, Mike and Stacey are just having a good time and Amanda steps in. So credit to Kiki here for kind of letting Devin spread his wings. But was there anything to this? Because that's kind of the end. We see Rashida into Devin. We think Devin's into Rashida and then kaput.
I guess Devin just sees her as a friend. That's the only thing I could think of, is that he doesn't think of it anything more than that because he just goes back to Kiki. So I think that's the only thing that would make sense, is that Devin just doesn't think of Rashida as anything more than that.
But then why does Devin pick Hannah jumping ahead and not pick Rashida? I don't even mean like Devin needs to be taking Rashida to the boom, boom, room.
No, because I don't think he feels any romantic connection. I don't think he thinks that they're a match. So he's moving on to the next person he's attracted to.
I wish I saw a little bit more about like what Devin is like telling these girls to get away with the stuff that he does. Mm-hmm. So yeah, jumping ahead, I spoiled it. Mike with Stacey in the hot tub.
Yeah, so he does his big stripper move, his filet mignon 5-second move on her, and Amanda strolls by and wants nothing of it.
But he was in his bathing suit. That's the excuse. It was 5 seconds in my bathing suit.
So did that mean something else happened in the house where he wasn't in his bathing suit? Because I thought he was like in shorts last time.
Well, I wasn't that his excuse saying, then? I could have been naked. I was in my bathing suit. You're welcome.
But, I mean, Amanda and Mike having drunken fights, it's just grab popcorn, sit back, and just listen to fantastic television.
Well, this was absolutely tragic, because this actually makes more sense. Like, I don't understand what the episode was last week, but this now makes more sense from the secret scene from episode 2 till now, where they were, like, already falling apart in episode 2, and here now we see them completely imploding. And Mike starts getting really rough with her and saying like, your match isn't, it's clear. There's a reason your match is here and I'm not it. And this is my favorite, because drunk Amanda completely caught off guard, but not being the kind of girl who's going to like cry because he just rejected her and she's shocked, is just saying words in the proper tone to try to do something. She's making zero sense, but I totally get it. And it's just like, if I say enough things in this tone and you're disrespecting me, maybe I'll think of something real to say.
And she says words that have a lot of syllables in them. Like, I think she said genuinely a lot. Genuinely disrespected. Like, she's very, she sends every syllable when she's drunk. It's great. Amanda drunk voice is probably like my favorite voice on the show.
My favorite part was, talk to me like a man, don't ever disrespect me, and say I'm doing stuff that I ain't.
It came out of nowhere.
It was just like, what stuff? Like, that's when Mike was like, what stuff? And I get it. She just
so confused.
She wasn't going to be like, Mike, that really hurt me. I thought we had a real connection. I'm really upset. I would have done the same thing. I thought it was amazing.
Genuinely disrespected. Disrespected is like the go-to feeling on reality shows when something bad happens to you. It's that you're disrespected. I don't think I've ever told anyone in my life that I felt disrespected by something that they've done. But that's like their go-to line on every reality show.
I don't allow people to disrespect me.
Right.
So then he actually does disrespect her as a result of all of this. He pushes her and says, get the F away from me. You know, your trash isn't worth it. You got to get taken out by the garbage man, which, again, if Lira is a garbage man, not a bad option.
Right. It was fun until that's why I was glad it cut to a commercial at that moment, because it was like fun. This is crazy people being having a drunken fight. It's great. And then it like started to take that turn where it was like, oh, please don't let something really bad happen. And then it just like cut to commercials. Like, all right, we're out.
This yet again makes no sense, besides the fact that he shouldn't put his hands on her. It makes no sense that he just flips this switch. Like, this has been their relationship. He pushes her buttons. She reacts. They fall in love. He cries. She yells. They fall in love. Like, it just makes no sense that he would just immediately flip to your trash. Get away from me. Like, I still don't get where that came from. And then this was hilarious because during the commercial, Mike tweeted like, oh, the emotional roller coaster ride continues. And I almost I had the urge to tweet back at him as though I know them. Like, I didn't. But I wanted to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this is an emotional roller coaster. Like, you're a piece of shit. Like, but I'm like, oh, this Amanda's not my friend. And that's not her boyfriend who like did her wrong. Like, I don't need to step in here.
Right.
But yeah. So Amanda tweeted. Because I tweeted something like, Amanda's making no sense. I totally get it. Like, respect. And she wrote, what's not shown is he asked me to find my match, but still respect him and us. But yet he doesn't do the same. So, again, we're not seeing for some reason why.
But he had a bathing suit on.
We're not seeing what any of these guys said. So the production makes it seem like he's trying to find a new match and she's hung up on him. And that's why this happens. But apparently they were both, quote unquote, hung up on each other. And Mike just flipped a switch.
Yeah, but I would say Amanda's at least been shown trying to find more of a brother perfect match than Mike. Have we seen Mike have a conversation with any other girl?
Only about Amanda, and then we see another one with Hannah.
Yeah, with Hannah. That was just about Amanda, though. So that I don't understand where Mike. I mean, obviously they're just not showing it, but I don't understand where Mike's looking for someone else.
Which, I mean, yeah, we're not getting any of this story here that makes any sense. It's like the story as narrated by Drunk Amanda or something. But like, Hannah's now saying to Mike that she's volatile and he's not. And I'm like, since when is Mike not volatile?
A very confusing comment that was.
And then he like butchers that, you know, clear eyes, full hearts can't lose line. Yes. He goes, he woke up with a clear heart, a clear head, whatever, some other mumbling drunk stuff, even though he's awake and sober.
Yeah, I caught that. Bad job, Mike. Oh.
I don't get it. Mike's got a lot of explaining to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but we get to the date after that heartbreak.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty cool date, like something that I would seem like I would want to do.
That was my assumption for why there were two matches, is that it was like an expense thing.
It's probably also a lot of like liability thing to have them underwater in the dark with like scuba gear on. Probably.
Well, I don't think they'd take a shot. Like, no, you know what? Like, let's just do four people instead of six. Yeah, it's probably a lot easier to
keep track of four people in the dark in the water than six.
I thought it was like, we could take four people on a boat, and if you want six people, we'd have to get another boat. And they're like, oh, fuck that. We'd have to hire another person. Like, no. Right. We'll just do four. It's fine.
Yeah. But no, I thought the date was good. I actually thought both of them like seemed like they had pretty good connections. They seemed like they were getting along. Seemed like they would be personalities were clicking.
I liked Zach here because, well, I don't know if I buy that Cheyenne sees Zach as anything more than a friend. I think she's being sweet. She's being open. But I don't think she's into him, at least at this point. And Zach's doing a really great job to kind of convince her, like, this is what I like about you.
It's like he was at tribal council. He's pitching his case.
And this is great because I'm a big baby. Like, I would probably be really afraid of this. And so it is like a bachelor moment where the girl's about to, like, they're supposed to go bungee jumping and she's terrified and they connect because he's there for her. And that's kind of what happens here is like Zach takes her mind off it. He's funny. He makes it fun. And then they have a great time. So I like them. I don't know that I think they're a match.
What I enjoyed was when Zach said, oh, I think we could be a perfect match. Cheyenne just wanted like none of that like bullshit line of, oh, I think we'd be a perfect match. She's like, why? And he like made him explain why.
For Chuck and Brittany, on the other hand, he keeps calling her mermaid. She's the mermaid to his merman. And I'm like, Hannah is somewhere watching this relieved that she's not dating someone that refers to himself as a merman. It's right. Like Zoolander. Merman, pop. Merman. Like, I was just so nauseated by that.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
I wish Molly was here for that line. She's probably got shit to say about that merman line.
She'll tweet it.
But yeah, so what do you think about the chances of, I guess we know about Chuck and Brittany, but Cheyenne and Zach being a perfect match?
No, they're probably not, but I think they could just be good friends. Like, they seem to get along, but they're probably not a perfect match.
So, we also see them starting to vote. Who would be your vote here?
I probably would have voted in, Chuck and Brittany, but not Tyler had bizarre logic. He said, well, Brittany looks like Hannah, so they should be a match. But Chuck and Hannah aren't matches. So that was weird logic that he was using.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think sometimes they're hung up on like, oh, we said we wanted this. So if this is Chuck's type, then they would have accommodated somewhat his physical type. But yeah, no, it was definitely spotty. I thought Kiki actually had good logic here. Like, I want to know what you think about this. This is a little self-interested, but in general, it is finding a match. Right. Chuck is still an option out of six people left to be her match. So if she can knock out Chuck here, it's or change his odds a bit, it's better for her chances to find her match. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree. Good job by her. That was smart. I didn't even think about it at that at the moment. So, yeah, good job.
And then Mike, this confused me. He was like, the obvious choices aren't working, so we have to not vote for the obvious choices. So he votes for Cheyenne and Zach. What do you make of that?
I guess I don't understand why they're like Chuck and Brittany are obvious, but I mean, if that's just going like, well, we've always been doing X, let's just do Y, even if Y doesn't make sense either. It's like George ordering the new sandwich in the opposite.
It's like the thing is with this, it's like, it's not like every perfect match on the last two seasons haven't liked each other. So you have to pick people who wouldn't normally like each other. Like Curtis was attracted to Shelby. He just already had his eyes on Brianna. Like I don't, and Shelby was into Curtis, but she couldn't really make any headway. And then there was that whole like, oh, Curtis actually was into me, whatever. I'm just saying it's not like you will be repulsed by your perfect match. So we have to put together people that make no sense at all. Like just because the first person you liked isn't your match doesn't mean the second person you like won't be.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Okay, so then we get Alex play for Amanda.
It seemed like at first Amanda was into it. It's like, oh, when he's staring at me, he's like staring into my soul. But then it's, no, you're too sweet. You're too nice. I need someone who's going to lay down the law on me. And I think that means her perfect match is Ryan Devon.
That's a good one. See, I read that like he stares into my soul as like he seems so desperate. Like I didn't read that as like a good thing. Like he looks so genuine. It's like creeping me out. I didn't think this was a strong play for Alec. I mean, to say like we need to move past the physical and get deeper, like I couldn't help but hear like, don't pay attention to my looks. Like, and Alec's not a bad looking guy. So I just was like, why are you so like, ignore who you're sexually attracted to? Like, listen to the sound of my voice. You're getting right. Very sleepy. Like, I thought he was trying to hypnotize her.
That would have been an interesting play. But I thought he was just being genuine with her, like being like, we can't just go after whoever we're most attracted to. It's got to be something deeper than that.
But it's like, don't downplay yourself like that. Like, I know you're not at all attracted to me. I also think I'm surprised this wasn't that appealing to her now. I wonder if this happened actually before or after Mike turned her down for real, but I think it came after. But
right, like thinking she would want to bounce back and do something the opposite of what she just had.
Yeah, that she maybe it would be an overcorrection, or at least like, you know, Mike just treated her so horribly. So like it's almost like what happened with Hunter and Stacey. Like right. Hunter's not my usual type, but everything he's saying sounds so great. Like mm-hmm. Amanda's like, no, I don't want any of it. Thanks.
Yeah,
that guy who just treated me like shit. Like, yeah,
I want that
I'm back
again.
On that train.
I want that again. Seconds, please.
Yeah, sorry. So this is the shower heard around the world here. We get next. Right? Am I skipping anything?
No, we're right there.
So Hannah says, can I come in, Chuck? I'm a little cold. And they are in the shower together. And then Chuck says, I don't want her to the camera is like, I don't want her here. But like, how could I say no?
Mm-hmm.
And this spurred like the most outrageous Twitter response I've ever gotten, just in terms of it was just so out of context. Like, for example, if after the preview podcast, someone tweeted at me, like, you don't know shit, Alex the best, great, favorite, deserved, retweet, you're great. I feel like I've been nothing but pro Hannah the last few episodes. And I tweeted what I thought was it wasn't hilarious, but it was a funny joke.
Yeah, I got a chuckle out of it.
I said, if Hannah was cold outside of the shower, I could only imagine how she feels watching Chuck say he wanted to say no on national TV, which Hannah later favorited. I get retweeted by a girl who is not even tweeting about Are You the One. Like, I went to her profile and all of the people who joined in after, and none of them had a single other tweet at the time about Are You the One. So I was like, what the hell is going on here? This girl, Kate, retweets, she's fine. Thanks for your concern, though. I think I favorited it. Like, I didn't say anything, and that's fine. And then this Grayson kid, I'm going to try to leave their full names out of it, says, you tell him, Kate. And then I'm like, this comment was so misunderstood. Ha ha. Everything's fine. And then another girl, a fellow sister named Allie, A-L-I, says, perhaps you should focus on getting a life instead of bashing Hannah because you're jealous. And now I'm like, whoa, wee, wah. Like, I was like, what? Like, genuinely incredulous. I'm like, wasn't bashing Hannah at all. Actually bashing Chuck, but I'll work on that life thing. Thanks.
That's good advice.
I just thought that would be the end of it.
Nope.
And then the Grayson kid comes back at me with, also work on that profile pic while you're at it. Which, honestly, my profile picture, for anyone who doesn't follow me, was taken on midnight of my sorority senior year. And I'm rocking such an intense smize that we get a little subtle lazy eye, which for my friends back at Northwestern DG, who I know love Are You the One, like, you aspire to do subtle lazy eye. Like, look at that. I'm so proud of it. I will never change it. The picture, not, I don't need eye surgery. Anyway,
right.
No, but I just thought it was like, for a man on Twitter to come at my profile picture. First of all, I loved it. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not going to act upset by it. I thought it was amazing.
I almost screenshotted it and made it my new cover photo again.
But it's just unreal. I have notes on this somewhere, but I'm just like, I'm like lost track because I just think it's so funny. It's just crazy to me. It was crazy to me that somebody would come so hard when I did. Like, this could not have been the worst thing said about Hannah that night. And my other tweet, so I went to their profiles, was like, all right, where are the rest of the people taking Hannah to task? Like, no, the three of them tweeted nothing else the whole night for the most part about this. And then
Hannah's friends in real life.
I know who they are, so I'm just stalling because I just want to sit with this a little bit longer. So no, but I'm just like, I retweeted it and wrote, if this is what happens when you're, where is it? I want to say what I said. Well, I screenshotted it so many times. I don't even have it. I think I said, like, if this is what happens when you're high on Hannah, like, I need to find out what happens when you're not. Oh, here. Whatever. Something like that. And she wrote back, and I tweeted at her because I kind of wanted her to see this. And she goes, wait, what's happening here? I've never said anything to you. And I said, no, not you at all. Those people got mad at me because they misread my tweet as anti-Hannah. You have some hardcore fans. Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Kate girl who initiated this wrote back, I'm actually her sister, but I'll butt out.
Oh, like, wow.
So then Hannah direct messages me, which almost like that sheds a little bit more light on it. But again, I could not have been the worst thing that like that the person who said the worst thing about Hannah, because then Hannah later started directly addressing some real shit said about her. And I'm like, where are the siblings on that? Thank you, though, for stopping by my feed. But where are you on people just saying she's like a slut?
No press, anyway, bad press.
She was sweet. She direct messaged me. Sorry, my family gets excited when they think someone's being mean to me. I apologize if it was misdirected. I tried to have an online drama. I was like, I'd do the same. Didn't realize it's your family, like, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, like, I guess all three of these are, like, relatives or friends of relatives, siblings of hers, who just, like, didn't like what I said. But you know what? Listen to the podcast. My next tweet about Hannah was, like, couldn't have more respect for Hannah right now. It's like something like that, like unrelated to them hate spitting hate mm-hmm. at me. I'm just like, context, guys. Context. Right. I loved it. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Hannah's siblings.
That's a great story. It's great stuff.
Some other things I did tweet. So Hannah tweeted also, girls are always so mean to girls, especially online, but the fans of Are You the One have honestly been so sweet. I feel very lucky to have you guys. Which was also funny among all of this. And then she wrote, just kidding, I spoke too soon, guys, and retweeted someone who said, you are very delusional and slutty. And then that, with that random person, turned into a whole thing because that girl deleted her tweet. And so then people were talking about it. And Hannah was like, someone said that Hannah roasted her. And she could not stop tweeting about that. You don't want to come for me, child. You really don't. I'm mad this bitch said that that's a roast. I'm really offended. Like, how is that a roast? How sway? I shouldn't have deleted that effing tweet. See what happens when you try to be nice to people. Where are Hannah's siblings on this girl?
They only focus on the no press people.
Yeah, you're right. I'm on another level.
Yeah. You're on this level and they're below you.
All right, so back to the main issue at hand. I'm sorry to take the attention away from one of the most interesting things.
That was a reference about what Hannah said. I don't know if you caught that fully.
What happened?
Hey, I'm here and the other person is way below me.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought that was great. And I agreed with her when she said that about Brittany.
I don't like when people do that. Same doll, like, get on my level. Unless it's like sarcastically, like that BuzzFeed article about the girl who broke up with a 10-year-old boyfriend saying, ding, 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 the elevator's here, get on my level. Unless you're going to do that, don't say it.
A good friend of mine sent that to me when that came around and was like, this girl is you. Mostly because she ends it saying like, okay, I won.
Right.
No, well, ask your mom, Plainview Sue, about this. This famously happened on Bravo where I think it was Bethany said to Kelly Ben Simone, like, I'm here and you're here or vice versa. So start on Bravo.
Well, she'll just hear this. So she'll be able to go from there.
Anyway, Chuck then says, goes right to, so they have an event in the shower. Chuck then says, she takes Brittany aside. And last night I took a shower. She told me she was going to miss me if this was my last night in the house. I mean, is that code or what? Like, is that, like, I guess they didn't want to say there that, like, he's telling her they had sex, but it's, like, so clear. Like, he never mentions she got in the shower with me. He's just like, she was just talking to me. I'm like,
yeah.
Was that just editing or is that really what he said to her?
I feel like it was just edit. Like, I feel like if he didn't say more, it would have came out on Twitter less. And I didn't see anything about, like, Brittany saying, oh, I didn't realize they hooked up. I just thought they, like, talked in the bathroom.
So, no. She says it later that they, like, came together or whatever. But
yeah. So it must have just been,
a bizarre,
like,
way to say it. Like, she was just, you know, being sad in the shower.
Right. No, I agree. When I was first watching, I thought, like, wait, is this all he's saying to her that happened right now? But, I mean, yeah, he must have told her what actually happened.
And here's where Brittany's psychosis begins, because right here is where she shouldn't have just said, no problem, Bob, like, Hannah needs to just find her damn match. Like, yes, it's a problem. If you're mad at all at anyone, you should say, borrow from Amanda. That was disrespectful to me. I like you. If you like me, you shouldn't sleep with her or tell me how it's going to be. But of course, would a girl on Are You the One just go directly to the guy she has a problem with who actually owes her something? No, of course not. Let's hate on the other girl who has mm-hmm. no skin in the game and owes you nothing.
Yeah, it's exactly Chelsea. It's Chelsea Kayla. It's the same thing over and over again that happens. And I feel like that happens on the show all the time. Also, with the girls going right after each other rather than, like, yes, he could. Like, I know it would be very difficult for Chuck to say no, I guess, in that moment, but he still could have said no, so you should be mad at him.
Here's what happens if I'm in a shower and somebody knocks on the door and says, can I come in? No, I'll be right out.
Right.
Period. It's not like she walked in naked, shimmying around and saying like, and, you know, jumped on him. She knocked on the door and was like, can I come in? Very easy in that situation to say no. He made it like she presented herself naked, like a flasher, showed up in a trench coat with nothing underneath and mauled him. I mean, come on, take some responsibility. If you like her so much, it should be, I still had feelings for her. I acted on them. I want to pursue us. I'm sorry, whatever. Instead, he just throws her under the bus. She forced herself on me. Like, you know, who would say no in that situation? What man would say no? I didn't want her there.
You also have to take things with a grain of salt when someone is honest about hooking up with someone on a reality show, because they know it's just going to come out. So it's not like he did this in real life and he could have just swept it under the rug and Brittany never would have found out. Like, she was going to find out about it. So you always have to take it with someone with a grain of salt when someone's honest about hooking up with someone else on a reality show.
Right. Oh, like his motivation isn't 100%.
Yeah, it's not 100% that he just wants to be fully upfront with her.
But I'm just going to jump right into this. Like, I'm skipping Cheyenne and Zach, who said, like, it was great to get to know Zach.
Yeah, we can skip it.
Brittany, did you watch the secret scene or extended scene?
I did my homework.
This is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen for so many reasons.
Why disturbing?
The things that Brittany says and does and the fact that almost no one does anything about it, that Chuck, who was so obsessed with her last week, says absolutely nothing, that he allows her to talk to her with such disrespect and talk down to her while she's literally shrinking in the couch. She's not, you know, she's defending herself enough, but she says to Chuck later in another deleted scene, you know, I'm not going to be the person who's going to say something. So you should have been, you know, you should have been there for me. You should have said something. And her expectation wasn't even crazy. Like, she was just like, he should have said, don't call her something she's not. She didn't say, stand up and declare your love for me. You should have made out with me in the middle of the room and told her she's a bitch. Like, all she said was like, don't let her call me. What did she say? I now know who the
gross hoes are.
Yeah. That was vicious. It was just like out of total nowhere. And then she says, you are the definition of motherfucking stupidity. And she just gets crazy. And I know Ellie has compared herself to Brittany, but Ellie used her Southern ways for good. Brittany uses them for evil.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, this was definitely something that Brittany wanted to cause a scene about with everyone there, knowing the cameras are on her. This was like a great moment for her to quote unquote shine to do this. And I loved in the deleted scene that Kiki was the one person who like tried to knock Brittany down a bit. Everyone else was, I mean, I guess just probably most of them were just out of pure boredom, like egging on, like, oh yeah, well, yeah. I'm, to be fair, I probably would have done the same thing, so I can't really rip them that much. Like, I don't know if I really would have stepped, if I wasn't involved, I probably wouldn't have stepped in either. But it was a good look. It was a good job by Kiki to try to like defuse the situation a little bit.
It's funny because you say you always want somebody who's gonna step in, but
for me, I wouldn't have been the one to step in. I just would have been eating my popcorn, laughing and egging them along.
Oh my God, there's no way I would have allowed this to happen. I mean, her body language was sad. Like, it was so sad to see Hannah get reduced to nothing in front of a guy she liked and trusted. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is the quote unquote payoff from the quote unquote boring moment of them like really connecting. It's because then when something like this happens, it's not like, oh, they've only had a connection for a week, so who's Chuck to, you know, pick over them? Chuck had business to say something. And when Hannah calls him out on it later in another deleted scene, Chuck has nothing to say but how the situation affected him, which is dead on from his bio about him being just totally selfish. Mm-hmm. Is he's just like, well, I've put my heart in twice. Like, I'm not doing it again. Address what she's saying, Chuck. She calls him out and he has nothing to say except how it sucks for him.
And he was saying, he was like, oh, he was holding her back. I love that Hannah called him out on that. It's like, what was she going to come beat me up? Like, that, she was obviously not going to do that. So yeah, no, Chuck was definitely trying to, like, he didn't want to get it. It was not a good job by him in terms of not saying anything to defend Hannah.
I was also pissed at Ryan in the situation. So just pulled up my notes on this, the deleted scene. So she says, I know who the interesting dirty hoes are in the house, which is just like a dumb shit thing to say. Melanie applauds like that trend song, A Bay Bay, like just straight over her head clapping. And I'm like, this is why I don't like you either, Melanie. And then Kiki says, don't call her a hoe. And Brittany is like, shut up, you're ugly. like, oh, that hurts. Like, obviously I'm ugly, right? Like, please. Like, don't call Kiki ugly. That just shows how, like, grasping for attention right. Brittany is. Chuck, in this situation, I paid careful attention to how Chuck was acting. And Chuck has his head down, but he's laughing.
Yeah.
That's even worse. He's laughing. Mm-hmm. So then Ryan, the brilliant host of this show, he goes to Hannah, is this true? And Hannah's like, I don't have to answer to Brittany, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then Brittany's like, the image of maturity is continuing to mock her behind her back. And then she's like, I'm not going to clap, 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 swear, 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 and throw out digs at people. Ryan, you're just going to hop in the shower with Chuck? Like, stop slut shaming her, Ryan. You get paid because these people sleep with each other. And what Hannah did was actually, compared to what 90% of people do in this house, and totally innocuous and a normal everyday thing. And who the hell are you to allow Brittany to speak down to Hannah like she's trash and then back it up? I thought that was disgusting.
It's like he does only call out the girls for still sleeping with people that they're not a match with. Like, why wasn't it, oh, Chuck, aren't you into Brittany? Why are you sleeping with Hannah? Oh, Connor, why aren't you into Chelsea? Why are you still sleeping with Kayla? He does only call out the girls. And I think it's because he knows if one of the guys snaps, they would absolutely pulverize him into the ground if it ever came to that. And he knows he can just say that to Amanda or Hannah or Brittany, whoever it is.
I think you're giving him credit. I really genuinely, after he said this, like, where's the bitch shaming? Like, why isn't he shaming Brittany for being cold, dirty, like, cutthroat, like, horrible person? And instead he shames Hannah for sleeping with someone that she really had a connection with. And I think he just doesn't even think to criticize the guys. Like, I just genuinely think it's, I mean, I don't need to get into society, but generally, like, it does not surprise me that his first instinct is to criticize the girls.
Right.
Like, I think it's giving him too much credit to think that he's just afraid of the guys.
I don't think that was giving him credit for that. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's better than what I think is actually happening, which is that he just is sexist like everyone else. Yeah. And the other thing is not only did Chuck not defend Hannah, but he's the one who gave the information to Brittany and spun it the way he wanted it spun. So any way that Brittany's taking it is as a result of the way that Chuck told her, which is even worse. Like, this is a reflection of Chuck, what Brittany's saying.
I'll say this. Hannah then saying all she wanted was Brittany to go up to her and talk to her before pursuing things with Chuck. Enough with that. Like, you weren't best friends who you had a relationship now with this guy for 2 years and then you broke up and your friend's asking for your permission to date. Like, this is what's going to happen on the show. You're going to be with someone. You're going to find that you're not a match. Someone else is going to do it. Enough of the people needing permission to go after someone else. Like, enough of that. No one needs to be asked to kind of have your permission to go after your non-perfect match.
No, I agree with that. But I also think that Chuck is acting like, because he's not a match with Hannah, that he can just act like a complete dick. And it's like, you still have a responsibility to this person that you made a connection with, not to stay with them forever, but to treat them with a little bit of dignity. And he just totally let her, like, fall off the ledge.
I agree with that.
All right. So Chuck and Brittany go into the truth booth. Not a match.
Yellow bar again. Screwing it up.
Oh, yeah. I literally tweeted. Let's see. Oh, someone tweeted at us. I tweeted at MTV and at Are You The One. I responded to MTV or Are You The One's tweet about, like, do you think they're a perfect match? And I was like, why do you always spoil it at the bar? I've never done that ever. But it has become so frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I almost hate that I know it now. I hate that bubble was popped. Now it's never a cliffhanger.
I know a lot of people, it's like, you can't unsee it. A lot of people have tweeted, like, now that you say it,
yeah.
Jocelyn today on Twitter said, I pointed this out to you last season. And I might fangirl a bit when you mentioned on the podcast. So you can all blame Jocelyn for pointing it out. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's awful. There's no intrigue and it's getting worse because now that we actually want to, we think these people could be matches. It's like destroying the whole setup.
Yep.
All right. So now, this is what bothered me. I'm sorry. I'm just, like, getting really caught up in this Chuck and Brittany shit because I really hate Brittany, her character on the show.
Right.
But this is the thing, is we're not just, like, tweeting at her like, you're a bitch. Like, it's just like, the way you did this wasn't cool. You know, whatever. I'm not calling her ugly.
To be fair, we also have more than 140 characters throughout this podcast.
Which is why I don't use Twitter for this. what was I going to say? Oh, when Chuck's like going into the truth booth, it's like he's acting like he has the same connection with Brittany that he did with Hannah. And I keep beating a dead horse, but it's just upsetting me about how forward he was with Hannah. And now he's like, oh, I put my heart out there twice. And it's like, how could you have possibly after 1 week had the same connection? I just feel like he used her. Like, it just, I'm offended for Hannah.
Well, you're right in your corner. Go for it. That's your spot.
All right, so Mia Pia, team Brittany or team Hannah? Personally, I think Brittany is the biggest hypocrite. She clearly has no problem moving in on Chuck, stating that it's too short of a time they've been in the house for these relationships to be real. Yet she expects Hannah to apologize to her for hooking up with Chuck after Hannah made a connection with him first. So team Brittany or team Hannah?
This is like a cop-out, but I'm team Brittany for her going after Chuck, but I'm team Hannah for the way Brittany came after Hannah.
I don't think the way that Brittany came after Chuck, I'm even team Hannah, team Brittany about. Like, the way she did it was so gross and weird and manipulative that I just don't even care.
I guess so, but I had no problem with her not asking Hannah's permission.
Like, I don't think that's the rule. I mean, I think that's like, I remembered it when you said it, but like, that didn't even jump out at me as something. But in general, I mean, the way, what Brittany did was like so not justified. And I'm more just team not Chuck.
Yeah.
The other thing that I meant to say is, what do you think the future is for them? I know, like, I did see in the deleted scene, not in the deleted scene, in the, you know, next week on, I was still typing and, like, you know, they're, like, seen kissing maybe. Mm-hmm. We didn't get a lot of clarity. But they do kiss in the truth booth. And then Brittany says, like, oh, I'm actually much more, like, sadder than I thought I would be.
I think they'll maybe like the first five minutes with the in the ceremony, like rehash in the house, they'll like have a talk and they'll kiss. But I think Brittany will move on pretty quickly. I don't think she'll be hung up on Chuck or vice versa.
So someone who's not moving on when they're announced not a match, Devin just like flips out.
He's one of those people that just he always has to get a word in with no matter what happens. So he just does what he does. He doesn't even care about being right. He just cares about being heard. So.
Yeah, the highlight of that was Chelsea calling Devin annoying. Like, preach. was annoying. I'm glad she said something. But yeah, when he's like, we keep doing the same thing. We should have sent in Zach and Cheyenne. Like, wrong. They should have sent in one of the four couples from the beginning. We talked about this. Oh, question. So I guess we just go right to the matchup then. Is there anything else we missed?
Other than just Rashida again being upset over Devin, but I mean, I guess that kind of leads into the matchup ceremony.
Oh, but someone asked a question about that somewhere.
We can get to that when Rashida.
I don't even think I took it. I think I took a different question from them anyway. So Kayla, she said, makes a comment that like, that's what you were saying. She doesn't know who's going to pick her. And she makes a comment like she's kind of being hindered in the process because she's viewed as being with Connor. Do you think this is valid? Do you think guys aren't pursuing her because they think she's with Connor? Are guys just not into her, or are they just less willing to fight than the girls are?
I mean, she's a very attractive, so I can't imagine no guy being interested in her, but maybe they are just like, why even bother if she's not even going to give you the time of day? Like, at least Amanda, it seems like she's giving people the time of day. That's why Alec at least tried to do something with her, but maybe other people have tried and she's just like, nah, I just want Connor. I don't want to talk to you.
I don't know. I just feel like the guys in general, besides Alec, aren't really pursuing girls who are already quote unquote taken.
There's a lot of pursuits happening. Like, it just seems like it's everything from like the first couple episodes of those couples. And then everyone else complaining about those couples. Like, there hasn't been that many new ones popping up.
True. All right. So this is when Alec goes up, it's a guy's choice, and says that he like can't fake emotions for Stacey. Stacey is like, he puts on an act. On an act? He's on a show for love. Why would he be acting like he doesn't like you?
And then all she wants to do is just make out with him. Oh my God, Stacey. Poor girl.
So he picks Amanda, saying that citing her as his first connection. And Ryan so generously points out that Rashida was actually his first connection.
Yes, it was. And he had many more connections that same episode before Amanda.
When Rashida says, like, you know, I'm not even here. Like, Does Rashida still have a thing for Alec, or was she just joking? Like, does she care?
I think she was partly joking and partly like, oh my God, I can't even get Alec to recognize me. So I think it was kind of like half and half.
Except they like Alec. Like, we're like talking about him like he's like the last choice. It's like, I can't even get Alec. Like, he was the most wanted guy episode one.
But it's like, I think that she's just like, I can't get Devin. I can't get Alec. I'm worthless.
Yeah, it's like she's already beaten down. No, I agree. Right. And then Amanda just totally deads him at the matchup ceremony. There's no connection here. Like, it's almost like he's now kind of being a Stacey to her.
A little bit. I mean, not as bad.
But there are parallels.
There are. What I like about Amanda is whatever she says in her confessionals, she'll just 100% say to whoever she was talking about at the time.
I appreciate that. So yeah, Tyler picks Mel. No one cares.
Zach picks Cheyenne.
Because they're both assholes. That was cute. Everything Cheyenne says is just kind of cute.
Yeah, 100%. Chuck picks Kiki.
Well, this was weird about that is he says he's shooting in the dark. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, last week, she was your match.
Right.
Like, they were talking about being a match. That was the whole Hannah issue. So I don't know if Kiki called it quits with Chuck because of Hannah. We just didn't see it. But to say I'm shooting in the dark and then pick someone that you've connected with was, again, Chuck being stupid. I hate you. No, I'm just kidding. I like your tattoos.
maybe that was like edited around and the time frame wasn't right. But yeah, that was kind of odd. But that's that. Devin picked Hannah. Did we say that yet? And then Mike and Kayla. I didn't have anything for Mike and Kayla.
Well, you got to go back to Devin if you want to talk about it.
All right. So I think I saw a question about that with Rashida. Do you have the question?
We have a ton of questions about this.
Let's go to that with the conspiracy theory.
So this is when, so Rashida starts like crying and like, oh, I can't take it anymore, whatever. And ultimately walks off on the show at, they want you to see as Devin picks Hannah as though it's a reaction.
Right.
So Jess Small says, Stacey said on Twitter that Rashida had to leave because she was drunk, not upset about Devin. Do you believe this? I know they fabricate drama, but Rashida has already proven to be super sensitive. Not a bad thing, just how she is. Mm-hmm. That tweet is Rashida wasn't even crying over Devin. She was just drunk, but okay. That's the way they set up the system. The way they set this up is hysterical. We all look crazy. AF4 on Twitter brilliantly points out,
yes,
in a series of three tweets, much appreciated,
mm-hmm,
when Rashida leaves the matchup, you see Kiki chase after her and Kiki goes past a sitting down Hannah. Now, yep. I rewound this. I didn't notice it in the watch back. Did you notice this?
I did notice it in the watch back, yes. She's sitting on the far left corner and Kiki walks right past her, still sitting.
Yeah, when I went back, I'm saying, did you notice this the first time?
No, not the first time.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No, no, and I rewound it. I noticed it.
Yeah.
But so the edit made it seem like Hannah was already picked and in the process of locking in when Rashida leaves. In conclusion, Devin not picking Rashida wasn't the cause of the breakdown. What was? Cue the Syria music. Yeah, I thought this was really interesting after, you know, thank you, AF4, for bringing it up.
Yeah, good job by you.
What do you make of this?
I definitely, I'm under the theory that she was just drunk or sick. I mean, drunk and sick combination. But yeah, I think that's what it was. And this is one of those instances where it's like, okay, we can't really get, this is purely editing. If that's really what it is. And they're just trying to fabricate a story. Because I do think that's what it was. It's too, like, perfect of a scenario that she's just going to freak out like that over not getting picked by Devin, that to be real.
You know, I mean, I don't doubt that Rashida would freak out, but I kind of think she knew this was coming. Like, I don't think this was a shock. It couldn't have been. Like, they must have talked about it at some point. The only personal experience I could offer here is I went to a live taping of the Steve Harvey Show in Chicago, and being under television lights is brutal. And I almost passed out and had to walk out, and I was totally sober at 3:00 in the afternoon. And I can't imagine being wasted in television lights,
right,
in the heat of Hawaii. So I'm with Rashida. I would have walked out.
That's fair. I mean, but that's what I think it was. Maybe it was like a touch of the stress of over not having a guy that's into you at the moment, but I'm sure there was a lot more factors playing in.
We also see Kiki, as they were pointing out, runs after Rashida. I don't know if you're buying this. I buy it. I think Kiki really does strike me as a girl's girl. I think.
I mean, she jumped in for Anna's defense, so I think she would be one of the first ones to run off to help someone out.
Okay, so then, sorry, Mike and Kayla. This is when, this pissed me off, because Kayla says, I still have feelings for Connor. I'll probably be with him tonight. I'm not going to change. And Ryan says nothing. Why? Why, again, did Amanda get singled out? If they didn't want her to have a response for production, why did she get singled out?
I mean, I think we answered it last week, right?
Well, we answered it last week, I thought, because they knew she would have a reaction.
Yeah, I mean,
But then they're saying, Amanda's telling us they didn't want a reaction. So now I'm saying go back again.
They have to tell them they don't want their reaction, but they do want that reaction. That's exactly what they want. I mean, come on.
Everything I hear about reality television production is they try to get the reactions. They try to encourage you to have those reactions. They're not going to discourage you and hope that you're not too afraid of MTV to do it anyway. All these people are terrified of MTV. Like, people direct message me and are like, don't say anything, you know, whatever. All last season too, you know.
Yeah.
And we totally respect that. No, but they're afraid. They want their shot. They want to have a good relationship with the network. So it makes no sense that they would tell them, don't talk back to Ryan, if they really want them to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I think there's also some degree of, with MTV, their deal, at least with, like, when you start on Real World and then with Ari the One, you're dealing with, like, it's like, not to be really mean to these people, but the lowest of low of reality stars, as opposed to, like, on Bravo, when you're paying, like, the housewives, like, tens and hundreds of thousands, like, there's a different dynamic there between Teresa with Bravo and Amanda with MTV.
No, but that's what I'm saying, is they have no negotiating power, so that all the more reason that they would want to do the opposite, that they would want to follow the rules.
Yeah,
they know they're going to owe everything to them. They're their only hopes of being Simone and being a correspondent.
Is she still doing that?
No, but 1 year later.
I think Brittany is actually like semi getting her career out of this. I see her popping up in different places.
Yeah, not necessarily out of this. I mean, she's like hungry. Like she's hustling. But
yeah, good for her.
But I just think it makes no sense. I just don't understand. And maybe Ryan does talk shit and they just didn't have time because of the Brittany blow up, but I don't know. I'm just still pissed about that. That it's very, like, not only is it just the girls, but it's only certain girls. Mm-hmm. And they're all doing it.
Right. Right.
But yeah, and I'm just so sick of this Chelsea Kayla thing. It's all the same.
Yeah.
This is when you were talking about how Chelsea kind of blows it with Connor. It's like foreshadowing that they're not going to be together anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. And then.
Well, so. I'm going to say what they say.
Didn't we touch on this?
Yeah. But no, the overall goal is, and this is kind of back to Connor, is like, is he being fake? Because he says, like, it'll be fantastic to go to the honeymoon suite with Chelsea. And this one was where he gets caught in his, like, web of lies a little bit, because Kayla's like, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Really?
But I don't think Kayla is going to cut the cord at all. I think Connor can easily sweet talk his way out. If he wants to sweet talk his way out.
I don't think he wants to. No, I think it's over, because I think Connor needs an excuse for it to be over. I think all of these guys are like trying to play the nice guy and use the girl, like get the girls riled up, and then are like, oh, you're too riled up. Like, yeah. I'm out. You're not my match.
Right, right.
I'm still a good guy. But yeah, so Hunter picks Rashida, and miraculously, they still have Rashida's handprint on file, and they're able to lock it in.
What a world. Maybe they could even do the truth booth with one of them out there. I mean, I don't know if they have that type of like system, but maybe in a couple of years.
The body scan technology.
Yeah. They can do the hands, not the full bodies, though.
And then some guy with a little bit of a beard and some tattoos gets matched up with Stacey.
Yeah, I don't know who this person is. I think some stage crew guy walked on set.
Two beams.
So it's got to be Connor and Chelsea. That's got to be one, right? At this point.
Yeah, I mean, especially with just the way the editing's going, I just don't think that there's going to be enough time to show us all the other matches and another match for Connor and Chelsea. Yeah,
I mean, the thing with that, though, is you can't always play that, because, like, it was kind of like last season where they showed all these love triangles and none of the love triangles, like, or for the most part, most of them didn't even work out. So
that's true, but we have no strong leads for anyone else. Like, they're the only couple, and we're not even getting beaten over the head with it.
Like, I mean, we were at this place. Wasn't it like week 5 or 6 when they had the second black guy last season? So like they really, the last 3 episodes was basically all new couples popping up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't know. I just also think based on the other three couples, if it has to be 2 out of the 4 from week 1, that they're definitely one of them.
Do you have any sense of all the other 9 who could be the perfect match? I mean, there's 9 of them. I think
maybe Tyler and Melanie, only because we've seen a little bit of them and then they've let it alone. So it's not like there would be a big payout if they went into the truth booth and it was over. So maybe there has to be a little bit of a reason we saw them, that there doesn't.
Yeah, my pick would just be Chuck and Kiki, just on the pure odds that Kiki has the least amount of options left.
That's fair.
I don't know.
So Alex Panda Moran wants to know, what are the chances that we have our first season where the group doesn't win?
I still think they're going to win. Once they get like 1 or 2 confirmed truth booth perfect matches, that's really when things snowball from there. And I think they're going to get their first one next week. I think Connor and Chelsea will go in next week and that'll start the snowball process. So I think they'll still win.
So Style Z pointed out in the comments, so there's a website that we both have known about before. Maybe he pointed out last season, the Are You the One Math. So that does do the probabilities for you, and I'll show you the percentages of matches. So once they get more information, like they'll start spoiling who the matches are.
Right.
Depending on what you consider a spoiler, we try to avoid that. But he did send us a chart that you can look at. For anyone who if you don't want to see the spoilers, just what I do is I scroll all the way down to the next week and then scroll up. Like the percentage matches, the graph is the last thing on the post. So, or I'll just talk about it. So anyway, it charts, it's like a graph showing, you know, the x-axis is the weeks, the y-axis is the perfect match possibilities remaining, and it shows how season 1 did, eliminating possibilities to win week 7, how season 2 started with way more possibilities and worked its way down to week 10, and then it shows season 3, and season 3 is doing way worse than season 2, which was like a million more possibilities.
Wait, so season 3 is doing worse?
Season 3, it has less possibilities, but is eliminating possibilities at a slower rate. So next week, but depending on how good or bad they do, like season 3 stands to have eliminated more possibilities by week 5. Okay. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so the website says this is the worst performance of any season so far. They're almost as far away from succeeding as season 2, which was much harder with the 11th girl. So there, you know, we speculated before, but this is someone plotting it. So thank you to Are You the One Math.
Mm-hmm.
They suck. They're doing so much worse than season 1. And they've been doing way worse than season 1 since week 2.
Yeah. I think it's not that unbelievable to believe that they're doing a lot worse. So.
They're still on pace to finish, you know, whatever, depending. I mean, it could always plateau, whatever.
We'll definitely know who the matches are by like week 8 or 9. Like, or the internet will know.
Oh, it's the internet almost could know now. Like the internet, not totally, but I think in the next week of information, no matter what happens, they'll know at least one match. Or I mean like 90%.
Right.
But that's not hard. But there's a huge disparity between when the internet can figure out from running probability equations to when the TV show finds out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's possible. I mean, they're not like totally out of the running of contention. They could still figure it out. But they're doing worse. That's all I can say.
It's a possibility that they'll lose. Like I was like 98% sure that they would win probably at the start. And now I'm like maybe 95%. I still think they're going to win. But I guess it's dropping.
Alex Panda Moran wants to know, while it would cost them money at this point, would it be more helpful to receive another blackout?
No. I mean, I guess it's helpful, but you don't want to lose. You're almost getting to the point where it's not even worth winning.
That's like season 2. Who knows what season 2 would have done without those 2 blackouts? Like, that's really helpful, but when you have the penalty of losing the money, it's like, I think people would just stop caring about trying to find their match.
Right.
So we had a great question. So we both omitted something last week. Did I cut this out? Shit. No, I'm going to find this. It was from Kristen Kinnar, and I'm going right back to the questions. I keep it up. I guess I accidentally deleted it while I was cutting and pasting. I was writing my rant about people misunderstanding people on Twitter. Not writing it, taking notes. Okay, Kristen Kinnar, also, can you discuss what was missed last week? That only three out of four of the potential matches from week one matched up last week instead of all four. It defeats the purpose of the info they were trying to get.
I didn't realize that. I thought all four did. Wow, that's an atrocious job by them and a bad job by us, I guess, too.
So Kayla and Zach, though, didn't match up again, which you still get the benefit of the information. You still get the benefit of guaranteeing that you'll have at least one match. Because if you have two matches and you only exclude one, you're guaranteed out of the three right. That one of them are a match. I don't necessarily think it was a bad idea to exclude Kayla and Zach.
I guess. Did they purposely do it, or did they just accidentally screw that up?
That was the first episode we saw them talking about the strategy and them saying you all have to pair up. Maybe that's why Alec was rallying so hard to not be included. And they were like, no, you have to be. We're already excluding Kayla and Zach.
Yeah.
But that I thought was weird. I think the biggest, it's almost like that doesn't even come close to bothering me as much as the fact that one of the four of them or one of those three haven't been in the truth booth yet. And I keep saying that, but that's always going to be the thing that frustrates me the most.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Something else that was interesting, kind of like a bit of news. So I was watching the lead in, like the last 10 minutes of this like Teen Mom special they had, like the deleted scenes special that led into Are You the One? And Nessa from Girl Code was hosting, and I thought she was doing a really great job. So Nessa for president and host of Are You the One and any reunion, she was great. But Zach Longo tweeted that there was no budget for an after show, and it was a joke. But I just remembered that we don't have the after show. And then he also tweeted, you guys should tweet, not joking, you guys should tweet at MTV, we want an Are You the One 3 reunion.
Yeah, I saw that. There might not be a reunion.
Well, there is not a reunion, apparently.
Right.
Not might not. Like, right now, there is no reunion.
Right now, there is none.
How expensive is it possibly
to put together a reunion? How expensive could that possibly be?
I mean,
I guess you have to pay them to show up. But
90% of them live in LA, so that has to save on airfare.
I mean, just pay out the extra $250 that you took away from them. You break even.
I don't know. I think I want to pull up some tweets that I have or some tweets I have about the ratings. I mean, how much life do you think is left in the show?
I think this could be it. Honestly, I'm even just going based on like the Twitter following, and this, I don't know how great it measures, but it seems like their follower count is not nearly as high as the past seasons have been at this time. That's obviously not great barometer, but
is it at this time? I noticed that too, but is it actually?
It doesn't seem like it. A lot of them are still like in the 1000s or the 2000s. It just seems like the other, at least for season two that I remember, they were more jumping into the 10,000 mark by this time.
The only other thing I can think of is that, like, I know this season just started airing in Brazil, and that's always like a huge
Brazil's fan base. It's probably more popular. I think it might be more popular in Brazil.
Oh, I think it 100% is more popular in Brazil.
It's just like, why is Brazil like the hot spot for Are You the One? That's weird.
I'm trying to find this, but basically there was a tweet from a quote unquote fan. Oh, here, there was a fight going on between Zach Tyler and this random fan. And I just closed it. So whatever. Basically he was saying like, Zach was like, we have low ratings because we moved time slots. Like, we're still getting our groove. And the guy was like, the other seasons moved time slots. You lost half your audience after the first episode. Like, you have nothing. And I mean, their ratings apparently, I can never find their ratings, but are reportedly in the toilet. Like, they did really well in the first episode and then they lost a ton of their audience.
Yeah. It's not great. Not great, Bob.
But there is the casting page is still up on MTV for season four, but
that's good, I guess.
I mean, I guess they have to have that in the event that, you know, they haven't gotten canceled yet.
Right.
I'm really upset about there being no reunion though.
Yeah. That's pretty disappointing. This is, well, like, even more than like a Real World, this really needs a reunion.
Yeah, well, so maybe some of them will come on our podcast and talk about it. Like, we had Jasmine last year who didn't get a reunion either.
We'll do a 22-person Skype call. Gosh. Have them all on.
Another thing I wanted to point out, I'm assuming this is the same Style Z from comments who helped us out with the blog, the Are You the One Math blog, gave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Best challenge / Are You the One podcast ever. I'm going to read it just because he gives you a special love. Aww. I've been following the bus driver's route for quite some time. Immense challenge knowledge and very fun and quirky chemistry with co-host Lash Tweets. They even go beyond the show with hilarious social media coverage and great fan interaction. So we appreciate that. We also got another one, but there was no comment, so I don't know who you are. So thank you, everyone who continues to subscribe and give us 5 stars at robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes.
There you go. Thumbs Woo-hoo. Up all around.
I'm trying to look to see if I favorite anything else. You want to talk about the real world news?
Well, so there's challenge news. We talked about the bloodlines already for challenge, so I guess we could skip past that. But yeah, so real world.
Maybe you can share it again.
So the challenge is actually going to air, even though the most recent MTV type show was the challenge. The challenge is airing first again. I think it's supposed to be airing in the middle of December. That's when it's going to start. And that's going to be Bloodline. So that's going to be like 10 or 12 of challengers with some cousin, brother, sister, friend, something like that. As I don't know, it hasn't been reported they're partners or team against each other, but it's going to be something like that. But then Real World is going back to Vegas for the third time, which has already started filming.
And the rumored twist?
Yeah, the twist is that it's going to be sort of like Road Rules again, that I think basically each week they're going to have some type of challenge to do.
And like rumored that the first episode they're going to be like having to skydive to their house.
Right, so that's an interesting move.
What do you make of that?
I'm intrigued. I like it more than bringing in like another one of these exes or the skeleton. So I mean, I'll watch. We'll see how it goes.
I like it a lot, actually, just considering like the real world's like pretty boring. And if they have a weekly challenge that no doubt drama will ensue. It's like when they all used to have the same job and like they're late to work and whatever. Like, I think it's at least something going on. It relates directly to the challenge, which I'm hoping they're strengthening the real world. They're trying to strengthen the real world to strengthen the challenge and keep that going. So I think that's a good sign. I don't know what the hell they're going to do if Are You the One goes off, though, because, I mean, then they're just going to have to do, well, that's like, this is a fresh meat season. But how often can you really bring back people's family? Like, just in terms of, for bloodlines. So now half of their relatives, or their relatives, half the cast, is going to now be eligible to keep coming back. And are you going to have... It's like with Blood vs. Water returnees this season, like, you know, it's not like Dale and Kelly both got a second chance. Like, how is it going to be like if two people have their cousin and brother and the rest of the cast is just a jumble? How can they do that?
Wild and crazy stuff.
I don't think that they can actually bring back Bananas and whoever he's with.
Yeah, but I could see like, if I think it's like Nani's cousin or sister. I could see eventually Nani's sister basically like replacing Nani.
Right, but I just don't think you can bring them both at the same time unless it's like a special like this. In which case, you're not really expanding the cast like you need to in order to support.
It's like hitting refresh on the cast. It's like a time machine. We're sending them back 10 years and hoping they're as good.
Right, but you're not getting a big enough pool then to replace if you cut Are You the One? Where are you feeding from?
I'm bracing myself for the world of challenge, real world Are You the One. Like, not coming to an end, but like there's an end in sight. I think you'll be okay. I'll be okay.
Bracing myself.
I think I'll be okay. I mean, it's getting to a point where I probably just as an adult probably should look to move on, but we'll see.
There's I was gonna make a joke, but the time has passed. The other little bit of news that I have, you may have more. I keep getting out of it. Damn it. I'm sorry, guys. This is my version of a technical difficulty, which is just human error. So Devin from The Challenge got engaged. So mazel tov, Devin.
Wait, who?
Devin.
Who's Devin?
Really? She came in third.
Oh, I was thinking there's a guy.
For Asians.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I was jumped to like Devin as a guy's name.
Sorry, no, that was unclear. But I was like, wait, Devin? And she also has a new TV show on TLC with Clinton Kelly about like redoing people's social media dating sites. So check that out. Good for her. That's all I got.
I like Devin like off the challenge. So she'll do well there.
Yeah, she seems to be doing very well. That's all I have for you.
All right. That's all I got. So right, what's the score?
What happened with the Mets game?
Yeah, so the Mets are winning right now 3-2. Daniel Murphy just hit a home run to give them the lead. So we'll be signing off. And at this moment in time, the Mets are winning. So if they lose, I apologize.
So
not really, though.
Let's do the hashtag. No, I don't want to. I don't want to jinx it.
Wow, Greinke. And Zach Greinke just sent one to the wall. That's caught. All right. So now they're still winning.
That would be really funny if they tied it while talking after I just said that.
That would be hilarious. So funny. Damn it, I always mean to jot down a hashtag and I never do.
I never remember to
How
jot
about
down a hashtag
hot
and
doggy
I still
style,
don't.
Which was the name of the challenge.
Hot doggy style? Sure. We'll steal Devlin's name. Hot doggy style.
Hashtag. It's not. It's too inappropriate. Yeah. Perfect.
Or you could just hashtag like the final score of the game when it ends.
That's giving our audience a lot of credit that they're watching. Not credit. That's like putting too much on them to have
to Google
it.
Them to have to look up the score.
It's great. Okay. It's good enough, guys, that you listen to us. You don't need to watch the Mets game too.
No, they don't have to watch it. They're gonna hear this when the game is long over.
You don't have to do the work.
Okay. All right. Hashtag.
We're here to work for you.
Hot doggy style. You can subscribe also at, as Alex said, robinswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. And you can follow me at Bus Driver's Route. And we'll be back for episode 5 next week. So until then, have a good one.